The Old Testament reading today is from Numbers chapter 21. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, and the people became impatient on the way. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food. Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many of the people of Israel died. And the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he takes away the serpent from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole, and if the serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading is from Ephesians chapter 2. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the son's disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us immeasurable riches, for his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by the grace of God you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast, for we are in his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared on the forehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, and whoever does not believe is already condemned, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. The people love the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen, and that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was our gospel lesson. A father and his 35-year-old son were sitting in a restaurant. They got done eating. It's time to pay the bill. Father reaches back, realizes he left his wallet in the truck. So he walks out of the restaurant, and the waitress is looking at him. And he says, "It's okay. I left my son as collateral." She says, "Yes, but do you have anything of value?" See, some things are of a doubtful value, but we're going to read about something that can literally save your life. Our text is a well-known story. The people had grumbled against Moses. They had grumbled against the food that God had provided them. So God sent fiery snakes amongst the people, and the snakes are biting the people. And they're dying, and they didn't like this very much. So they went to Moses and said, "We have sinned against you and against the Lord. Please pray for us." So God instructs Moses then to make the brass serpent and put it on the staff. Why the snakes? Well, as I just said, they were complaining against Moses and against God. You read through the first five books of the Bible, all right? The history of the world from creation all the way up until when they get to Egypt. And what you find out is, and when they then left Egypt and made it to the Promised Land, all they do is grumble against God and complain. They whine and complain worse than teenage girls. Hey, I have three of them. They whine. All right. On the way to the Promised Land. They're going to the Promised Land. It's probably the closest to heaven on earth that they were going to ever find. They're going to this wonderful place. They don't have to build the homes. Everything's been built. The wine, vineyards have been planted. The wine press is dug out. Everything's ready for them to move in. So what do they do along the way? They grumble and they complain. They complain about the food. They complain about, well, about anything, which is amazing. They complain about the food. Who provided the food for them? God did. In the morning, the flakes out of, they said it looked like dew, the wafers were just out there to collect. So you just collect in the morning, have your breakfast, and then at night, the quails came. Now, this is a pretty sweet deal. You don't have to go to the grocery store, no Walmart shopping. No, that's a blessing. You don't understand. That's a true blessing, not having to go to Walmart. I know, I shouldn't make fun of Walmart now that Ben works there, but sorry, Ben. They're my favorite target. All right. God provides all this, but yet they complain about Him. Every day the food appears. They never had to worry that there was going to be a meal that wasn't given to them by God. They always found something to complain about. The appearance of the snakes coincided with the poison of Israel's criticism and complaining. As James says, the tongue also is a world of evil among the parts of the body, full of deadly poison. That picture of poison is a lot like the picture of sin itself. See, when the people were bit by the snakes, they were certain to die because of the poison. Because of sin, we are certain to die as well. It's just inevitable. There's a story back when they were working back in the early days of nuclear research at Los Alamos Laboratories in New Mexico. A young scientist was demonstrating the effects of two unstable masses of uranium. Now, I don't know how this is done, okay? I really don't. But he had them together, but had a screwdriver separating them. Can you tell I wasn't a science major? I don't know how this worked. But the screwdriver fell out, and the masses were coming together, and it was glowing very bright. Then to stop an explosion, he reaches in and pulls them apart. And he says to everybody standing there, "You don't have to worry, you're safe, but I'm a dead man." And he was right. 5 days later, he died an excruciating death. That's what sin does to the human body. You want to know why you have arthritis in the morning? Blame sin. It's not because of the rain. It's sin. You have a sore back? Guess whose fault it is? Sin. Those wrinkles? Sin. Oh, you'll get them someday too, boy. Don't you laugh. He's over there laughing. No, not me. You know why you're overweight? Too much food. See, you thought I was going to say sin. Nope, that's just plainly good old-fashioned overeating. All right. So the people plead with Moses to do something to get rid of these fiery snakes, and God tells them in Numbers 21:9, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live." Jesus picks up that picture in John 3, verses 14 to 16. "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in Him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." We've all been bitten by the sin snake. Every last one of us. All of us have been poisoned by its effects. The only antidote is Christ on the cross. We look to Christ for the forgiveness of sins. There's a story, and I'm guessing it's true. In West Africa in 1927, yellow fever was rampant in that area, and yellow fever had killed it. When we built the Panama Canal, we lost more people building the Panama Canal than we lost in the American Revolution from yellow fever, malaria. And they had a young native man named Asibai. That's how I'm going to pronounce it. I don't want to be disrespectful because he was actually a true hero in the history of medicine, because they took an original blood sample from him and they worked the blood sample and came up with a vaccine for malaria, or the medicine for malaria. And most of the vaccines that we have today, his blood sample is still the standard. It's pretty cool, isn't it? From one man, how many millions have been saved? I probably butchered parts of that story, but once again, I'm not a medical guy. You want to know biblical stuff? Cool. You want to know U.S. history? Cool. You want to know medical stuff? Don't ask me. See, it's one of those M words. I'm no good at anything starts with an M. Math, music, medical. Not my field. All right, so Jesus volunteers his blood on the cross for us. So from the blood of one, millions, if not billions, could be saved. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Christ. Going to have to disagree with our ELCA brothers on this one, when at their last convention they passed a resolution that all religions lead to the same God. No, they don't. No, they don't. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. When the people were bitten by the snakes, it didn't matter how sick they were, how close to death they were. If they looked at the snake on that pole, they would be saved. I've also had people over years say to me, Pastor, I can't go to church. If people only knew what I have done in my life. I'm too bad of a person to go to church. That's the exact place you need to be. All right? Perfect people do not need to come to church. So you know what I'm just saying about y'all? You know what I'm saying about myself? I need to be here because I'm a sinner. All right? And it doesn't matter if we've been bitten 1,000 times. We can go to Christ and receive forgiveness. There's no works to do, no hurdles to jump, no fine print, just free grace. Believe in him and salvation is yours. And it can't be brought to you by somebody else. Somebody else cannot give you the gift of faith. All right, that's the work of the Holy Spirit himself. But we look upon Christ on the cross and we're reminded what he did for us. We lift up the dying Christ on the cross to the world and telling the world, this is what you need. You know, in this country, we keep talking, we've got to unify everybody. We've got to unify everybody. All right. Sorry, it's not going to be around a politician or a secular belief. The only thing that's going to unify people is the gospel message of Jesus Christ. That's the only way to unify people. We have a duty after we've been healed to heal others. So what have you done since you were, quote, healed? Have you worked? Have you done the gospel work? Have you witnessed? Here's kind of a corny question. Have you joined the rescue squad for dying souls? In conclusion, there's a story of a young man named Justin Tusk, 17-year-old high school honor student, very close to his mother, his wheelchair-bound father, and his younger brother. And he was an expert swimmer who loved to scuba dive. So it's his mother's birthday. He's going to go scuba diving some caves that he had found. He wanted to explore them. He gets into the cave, gets lost, gets confused, gets stuck. First of all, he made a fatal error. You never go scuba diving alone. But he gets stuck. He cannot free himself. So he took out his diving dagger and he carved on his tank, "I love you, Mom, Dad, and I'm a Christian." What would your dying words be? But by the way, he did drown. What would your dying words be? Well, Christ's dying words were etched upon a Roman cross. What was those words that were on the cross in blood? "I love you." So no matter what's going on in the world, we know that we have the love of God with us. So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ until life everlasting. Amen.